My concern is that we will start to see little spikes that might turn into outbreaks.
The top U.S. infectious disease expert says opening too soon could turn the clock back. It's Wednesday, May 13th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, as South Korea struggles with a resurgence of the coronavirus, the World Health Organization warns that the pandemic has not ended. One of the hardest hit businesses during this time is travel. We'll explore that. And San Francisco's Chinatown restaurants get the help of a marketing professional. It is all on today's VOA Asia. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the top U.S. infectious disease expert, is warning Congress that if the country reopens too soon, the consequences could be really serious. Let's welcome to VOA Asia, Catherine Gibson, the congressional correspondent for VOA. What was the gist of what Dr. Fauci had to say?
Well, the gist of what Dr. Fauci had to say is what he's been warning all along, is that the U.S. needs to take a really careful, measured approach to reopening the economy, to reopening state by state, and to really keep looking at the data on the ground to see how things are playing out as we slowly reopen and let people go out in larger numbers, interact more with each other. He warned U.S. lawmakers that really they need to take a look at whether there are these little spikes, as he called them, spikes of outbreaks that may grow into larger outbreaks again, which would, of course, then necessitate clamping down again, state by state or area by area, to keep this from growing and becoming yet again another widespread outbreak across the United States.
If some areas, cities, states, or what have you, jump over those various checkpoints and prematurely open up without having the capability of being able to respond effectively and efficiently, my concern is that we will start to see little spikes that might turn into outbreaks. So therefore, I have been being very clear in my message to try to the best extent possible to go by the guidelines, which have been very well thought out and very well delineated.
How strong was he in his comments about possibly not going through with everything the president of the United States is saying in his press conferences?
Well, you know, Dr. Fauci will never directly contradict President Trump. What he always says is that he works from an evidence-based perspective, that he is not responsible for making the economic decisions that a president of the United States would be. He actually pushed back against Senator Rand Paul, who said that he was making those determinations. He said that he takes this from a public health perspective, data-based, and that when he has, you know, these kind of contradictions with President Trump, he won't directly mention the president. He'll just say, well, this is something that is not going to be working, or this is something that usually, you know, is not going to be playing out the way that the president said.
What did Dr. Fauci have to say about when a vaccine might be ready, and also how long this all might take before this passes? Did he even entertain that?
Dr. Fauci isn't really getting into those kinds of big picture estimates just because there's still so much unknown right now. One thing that really stood out to me that he did push back on are some of these models that are showing that the U.S. may have as many as 200,000 cases of the coronavirus every day by the beginning of June. Dr. Fauci said that he did not think that those models were correct. He said that some of the mitigation efforts that the U.S. has been undertaking are indeed working, and that the level of cases is going down. Of course, Dr. Fauci will always say that we need to stay vigilant. We need to continue practicing good hygiene. We need to look at a case-by-case, state-by-state, area-by-area basis to decide how we reopen and to take a measured approach to that reopening.
Catherine Gibson is VOA's congressional correspondent and has carved out some of her busy day to be with us, and we appreciate it, Catherine.
You're so welcome.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We are also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. Officials in Afghanistan say a suicide bombing of a funeral in an eastern province and a militant raid on a hospital in the capital of Kabul have killed around 40 people and injured scores of others. China has suspended beef imports from four of Australia's largest meat processors in the wake of souring ties stemming from a dispute over the COVID-19 pandemic. Activists in Thailand have projected anti-military messages onto buildings in Bangkok to mark the anniversary of the army's bloody suppression of a mass protest 10 years ago. A magnitude 3.8 earthquake has struck 32 kilometers southwest of North Korea's Gangwon province. No indication of any injuries or damage. We continue now on VOA Asia. The mayor of the South Korean capital of Seoul says the number of recent coronavirus cases linked to that city's clubs and other night spots has surpassed 100. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
At a virus briefing, the mayor said 64 of the 101 cases detected are from Seoul and is requesting anyone who visited any clubs or bars in the entertainment district between April 24 and May 6 to get tested for COVID-19, adding that more than 7,000 have been tested so far. Large numbers of police are endeavouring to track down people listed as customers of the clubs and bars linked to infections, but have been out of contact. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Singaporeans are able to get a haircut at the barber or pop into their favorite bakery as the government loosens restrictions there, despite an upsurge in cases due to an outbreak among foreign workers living in crowded dormitories. The government says transmission in the local community has dropped and plans a phased reopening of the economy. Elsewhere in Asia, the Philippine leader says the lockdown on Luzon Island will be eased, but warns that people must follow safeguards to avoid more death. India is set to resume limited train service. The World Health Organization is advising nations to ensure that the pandemic is under control before reopening. WHO's Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said Monday that countries should also have surveillance systems in place to be able to detect and manage any resurgence of cases and ensure that their health systems can cope with a possible resurgence after reopening. At a news conference, the World Health Organization's Director for Health Emergencies, Dr. Michael Ryan, said it's not time to relax about the virus.
The virus is still here. So even as we lift lockdowns, even in low incident situations, even in a place like Korea, where the incidence or the number of cases per day had dropped to a very low level, they didn't let their guard down. They knew the virus is still here. And the virus is still here a lot more in other countries. Shutting your eyes and trying to drive through this blind is about as silly an equation as I've seen. And I'm really concerned that certain countries are setting themselves up for some seriously blind driving over the next few months.
Worldwide, the number of confirmed coronavirus cases is about 4.2 million. The global death tally is more than 286,000, according to Johns Hopkins University statistics. Happening now in Asia, China announced Tuesday a new list of 79 U.S. products eligible for waivers from retaliatory tariffs imposed at the height of the bilateral trade war. This latest list waives tariffs on products including ores of rare earth metals, gold ores, silver ores, and concentrates. Stay up to date with VOA if you're listening to VOA Asia. We continue now with planes sitting on tarmacs, empty hotel, and citizens worldwide staying home. The pandemic is having a catastrophic impact on the travel industry, a major contributor to the global economy. VOA's Laurie London asked Pauline Frommer, editorial director of Frommer's Guidebooks and Frommer's.com, if this expansive industry can survive.
I think it's going to be forever changed. to be honest with you. The United States Travel Association recently put out guidelines for what the industry should do to build public confidence. And I sat in on the meeting where they announced these guidelines and took questions. And they happened to mention in passing that a third of all hospitality jobs in the United States have been lost, gone, vanished. Thousands, tens of thousands of people. So I think travel will be different. I think it will be less carefree for a couple of years. There's an organization that does business-to-business research, and they did a poll and found that within the next 6 months to a year, most Americans are going to confine their travels to road trips no longer than 100 miles from their homes. So I think that there's a bit of a fear of travel. Now, on the flip side of that, I remember after 9/11, during that week when nobody was traveling because the skies were closed, everybody was saying travel will never get back. It seemed very dark. And yet we did. So part of me thinks, am I just being an Eeyore or am I being realistic?
We're hearing about even some of these very large airlines not sure they can survive, much less all these other parts of the industry.
And Norwegian Cruise Lines has warned that it will probably have to file for bankruptcy and may not make it even with that. So, yeah, it's a dire situation for those in the travel industry. The industry is suffering perhaps more than any other. And it's such a large industry. People think of travel as a trivial pursuit, but it really is something that keeps millions of people working. There are estimates that one out of 11 human beings on this planet works in travel in some fashion.
It's obviously a big part of the economy, in the world economy.
Absolutely.
What about people that love to travel that have never even thought that it would be an issue, that they couldn't, but they're really itching to get out, particularly Americans, where this pandemic is still to some degree raging, even if the government wants to reopen, the world might not be ready for us.
Yeah, we wrote an article on Fromers.com, our website, with the headline American Pariah. Unfortunately, because the response to this pandemic has been so chaotic compared with other Western nations, and because of the lack of testing, we have the most cases per capita in the world, and we also have the least knowledge of who has it and who doesn't. Just as we closed our borders to China when they were the hot spot, I am very worried that for a long time, Americans will not be welcome in other parts of the world because the world will not have a way of knowing if we're okay. A bunch of countries in Europe have announced their reopening plans, and most of them, like France and Ireland, probably won't be open to any visitors outside of those from the European Union until late July. Greece said they're going to do it earlier in June, but they want travelers to show some kind of certificate to show that they have the antibodies for the virus, which is something the World Health Organization would not approve of because they are saying there's not enough scientific knowledge to say that if you have the antibodies, you can't be a carrier, you can't get it again. So the science isn't backing what Greece wants to do. And we have nothing in place here in the United States to even begin to tackle that. I actually think it's smarter to buy a ticket now and have that uncertainty than wait and buy it later, because the airline CEOs have been having calls with their investors recently, and they have been telling them to build public confidence. They are going to only sell half of the seats on the planes so that there will be room on each plane for social distancing. But that's an expensive thing to do. So they have said, without mincing their words, that they expect airfares to rise 50% or more to allow them to only sell half the plane. So if you buy your ticket now, yeah, you might have to change the ticket. Your route might get changed. You might have to do a layover in a city you weren't expecting to, but you'll pay far less, I am predicting, than you would by buying your tickets later.
Sort of a confusing time, different than 9/11, where people were just afraid to fly, whereas countries, they want to open, they want the business, they want people to come. At the same time, they don't want to bring people in that are going to spread the virus and have this start all over again.
Right. It's going to be an interesting time. I mean, a lot will depend on when the vaccine can be made. A lot will depend on whether the science can prove that if you have antibodies, you're then safe. The country of Chile is betting on that. They're actually issuing immunity passports to allow people to return to daily life and to travel, which is one of the reasons the World Health Organization said, whoa, wait, right. Science right. isn't there yet.
VOA's Lori London spoke with Pauline Frommer, editorial director of Frommer's Guidebooks and Frommer's.com.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. Hong Kong authorities are going ahead to push through a controversial national anthem law. The law would make it a crime to insult mainland China's national anthem in Hong Kong. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Mellon. Angry protesters carrying dead bodies stormed an Indian chemical plant to demand the facility's closure after a toxic gas leak that killed 12 people days earlier. Thursday's pre-dawn accident in the state of Andhra Pradesh injured hundreds and knocked many unconscious as they tried to flee the area. State government officials have arrived to conduct a safety tour of the plant owned by South Korea's LG Chem when a crowd of about 300 people barged past police and security guards. Some helped cart stretchers bearing three victims of the disaster, their feet sticking out from under a black canvas covers that otherwise shrouded the bodies. They chanted slogans demanding justice for the dead and the shutdown of the plant before they were pushed back by security. Relatives of the dead stood nearby, many in tears, while others relived the horror of the sudden accident. Late Thursday, an evacuation zone around the plant was widened and hundreds of people were moved to safety after fears of a new leak. Some have since been permitted to return. Authorities have started a manslaughter investigation over the leak, and India's Environmental Tribunal has already fined the company $6.2 million as a preliminary punishment after it was determined that plant was operating illegally. Like many couples in the era of social distancing, Ma Jialun and Zhang Zetong held their wedding ceremony online, but they added a twist by live streaming the event to more than 100,000 strangers. Coronavirus lockdowns and travel restrictions have forced people around the world to delay their nuptials or adopt the unusual times by celebrating via web link. However, in China, where live streaming is extremely popular, some young couples are allowing anyone to watch their big day and even send them gifts. Creative entrepreneurs are also cashing in, offering people the option to spice up their ceremony with special effects. Wedding preparations are now restarting since all provinces in China have lifted their top-level state of emergency and life is beginning to show some return to normality. However, banquets and big gatherings are still not permitted, leaving an online celebration as the preferred option. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Mellman.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Can the coronavirus survive in cold weather? Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you're sick or advised to by local authorities. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
Now on BOA Asia, in San Francisco's Chinatown, takeout has been a lifeline for most restaurants struggling in the COVID-19 crisis. A full-time tech marketing analyst is doing his part to help keep these struggling restaurants alive. BOA's Mo Yu explains.
Aaron Lim is a savvy marketer with a helpful heart.
You know, with everything happening with the coronavirus, I know that many small businesses are being hit pretty hard, with business going down quite a bit, but especially in Chinatown, they're not getting the tourism. So I wanted to see if I could do something to help, these businesses that I frequent all the time.
So Lim asked family and friends to join him in ordering from local restaurants once a week, and he promised to deliver meals to them on Saturdays for free. Delivery apps can help restaurants navigate tough times, but Lim says not every business is good at it, and the apps may also take a bite out of the already lean margins. During the past few weeks, Lim single-handedly delivered orders to friends living across the Bay Area, and a small weekly deed also picked up steam, which in turn provided some steady income to the restaurants hard hit by COVID-19.
And then it kept doubling each week, where it was 12 orders, then it was in the 20s. Yesterday, we delivered 140 meals.
Now, other friends have joined his one-man delivery team, and he's considering expanding the service area. Lim, whose parents grew up in Chinatown, says he has special attachment to the neighborhood and wants to give back. He also launched a Facebook fundraiser page for a community nonprofit group. It buys meals from local restaurants and gives them to seniors and those in need. The fund raised more than $10,000 in less than 2 weeks.
Chinatown is a special place in my heart. I've had family that has grown up through Chinatown. So I look back and I see these, the people there that are in need. And I think, this could be my family generation, two generations ago. So, it does hit close to home for me.
Lim hopes his small deed can help Chinatown restaurants and residents endure the hardship. And most importantly, that Chinatown will return to its bustling old days after the pandemic. Mo Yu for VOA News.
Religious congregations have adapted a coronavirus lockdown that prevent communal gatherings, including how families mourn the loss of a loved one. Michael Sullivan reports from Los Angeles that even funerals have gone online in this time of the coronavirus pandemic.
Facing a death in the family, people want to gather for funerals and memorials. But now they often have to mourn via online sites like Zoom.
The gatherings for larger memorials over Zoom, where people are delivering eulogies and coming together, whether that's for the funeral or a memorial afterwards, or the Shiva gatherings, which usually happen for the 7 days following burial. It's been very powerful over Zoom.
One member of Hudson's congregation lost his mother last month, unrelated to the coronavirus. He wanted to fly across the country with his son and family, but then...
And then my doctor, my sister, my cousin, and even my rabbi in New York said, "You're crazy." So I said, "I'm either very brave or very stupid."
The family took part in the service remotely.
My niece held her iPhone up, and we participated via FaceTime from Los Angeles.
Muslim communities are also adapting, no longer washing the body that may carry COVID-19, says an imam in Minneapolis.
Instead of washing, they are doing what's called tayammum, or dry ablution. So just putting the body in the covering or clothing, then wiping over that covering with dust doing that, the dry ablution, that which is a substitute for when there is no water.
In the wake of so many deaths from the coronavirus, Pope Francis prayed last month for a group of frontline workers, those in funeral homes. The virus has changed normal religious practices for all faiths, but mourning remotely does offer some solace.
And yet when we did it and we had over 100 people online, It was very healing just to see all the faces after being so isolated. It was really wonderful to see not only family, but childhood friends from elementary school who knew my mother and had been part of my life all these years.
Mourning is important for the survivors.
One of the greatest gifts you can give to people following a loss is to tell stories of their loved one. And so encouraging people to call or to FaceTime or Skype or Zoom or send an email that that shares those memories. Those stories are sacred.
It's a new way to share those stories in a time of loss and isolation. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a wonderful day ahead.